Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Tell me you weren't thinking of Josh Allen on that run.
Woof.
Hard not to.
That's what I was thinking.
That's exciting.
I'm like, look at this guy. Look at our beautiful boy.
Scandrin.
Anytime touchdowns, yep. We're just 1 week off in the Bosa
We were
touchdown.
1 week off. We were all over it. All around it.
Billy, you were all around it.
Yep.
We didn't chastise Hunter Henry for not coming through this week for us.
Because he wasn't alone. We had a few other guys that
so many
hold up their end of the bargain.
So many open legs.
Speaking of legs with the parlay, do you hear what's going on in the morning now?
Yeah.
They've gone to the extreme with the parlays. I do think we are part to blame.
Oh, you blame us?
Yeah, a little bit. So we started with the Bozo parlay week two of the season.
Big hit. Week three, we hit. So there's our second week of doing it, we hit, but it was week three.
It was a $10 bet, and we won $1,200, right?
Yeah.
And so then Wiggy's like, oh, I got to get in on this. So then Wiggy starts talking about it. But he's tweaking them all, and he's moving them all around.
Yeah, he followed it for 1 week, and then by the next week, he's like, oh, I'm just doing my own thing. Yeah, so he's not following the Bozo touchdown parlay anymore. He's just doing his own
thing. So he's the parlay playboy.
Correct.
Self-described. Uh-huh. And then now Courtney Cox is the parlay princess.
Correct.
And she did an 11-leg parlay yesterday. And now...
And she cashed it out, though.
So apparently she got some wins, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And now she just sent me a Monday Night Football 9-leg same-game parlay.
Well, I understand that because there's... The over-under tonight is 36, so it's a game you want to sink your teeth
into. Maybe she should call the number on the end of Greg's reads.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, maybe. What are the legs? You got
them? Yeah, I got them in front of you. Because last week she was like, I'll put $25 on it. And then she's like, it's not a great payout. She's like, what if I did 50? I'm like, well, that would double the payout.
Five hams.
That is kind of good. Five hams.
Five hams.
So this one, she's got five hams to win 75 hams. Five hams to win 75
hams. I'm sorry. Yes, that makes sense. Yep.
Can you follow this?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
I should convert at some point.
Thank you.
A PS5 and a half.
Thank you. I was struggling with that.
One and a half PS5s. Uh-huh. Nine-legger parlay. How do you feel about this?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson over 1.5 touchdown passes.
Don't love it.
Russell Wilson over 201.5 passing yards.
Don't really love that. I like the Giants defense.
Malik Nabers over 64.5 receiving yards.
Good with that.
George Pickens anytime touchdown.
I'm actually pretty good with that.
Steelers money line.
Where is the game?
They're playing the Giants. Oh, Pittsburgh.
Fine. I'll go. Fine.
Pittsburgh over 16.5 total points.
Probably.
Over 26.5 for the game.
Oh, yeah. Over 26.5.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, because you got some alt lines.
Yeah, good.
Over 7 points in the first quarter.
I'm not sure I love that, but okay. Good. Seven and a half or seven?
I got seven.
Seven.
Yeah, that's you could get a nice push.
No, I don't want 7.5,
Over 15 first half points.
Okay, but seven. You know what? It's kind of like an 8-leg
you don't
parlay
because
that could push. No. I mean, I think I like a majority of those, actually.
She screenshotted the bet with no commentary.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything. Nothing. Just that.
She didn't sign it, Parlay Princess.
Nope. No, she should have.
Really? That's a sign-off.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So I said, looks like a winner to me. And I'll be locked in
tonight.
Look,
joke's on us when that hits, Keith.
No, I know. Listen, I'm not knocking it. I just feel like at some point, you know, you might want to rethink it. You might want to rethink it.
I'm
not like on my high horse about parlays. Trust me, I only do parlays and I lose a lot. I'm not doing like 9-10 leggers.
I'm a little unit shamed right now.
A little bit.
Five hams?
Yeah, I'm not often doing five hams
either.
I couldn't
tell you the last time I plunked down five hams on a bet.
You had to feel pretty confident.
Probably
Super Bowl for me.
Probably the NCAA tournament. Yeah, like right around, early 2024. Five hams. Wow.
I spread my hams around. That's what I usually do.
I squirrel them away. I save those hams.
Here's a ham over here.
Yeah. I got them stashed everywhere. So it's our second hour here, Jones and Keefe, on a Patriots Monday. Drake May started phenomenally yesterday.
He did.
He gets knocked out of the game. Any issue with him staying in the game, by the way? Like, the hit happened. Everybody saw it.
Maybe somebody. Oh,
in real
I don't
time.
Have an issue with him. He's a player and he wants to play.
No,
but
not
like
him, but like.
Maybe a coach would talk to him.
Yeah, or maybe anybody in the huddle or the independent neurologist or any of that. Like, is there any issue with him remaining in the game?
Well, I've long since thought that whole, like, concussion spotter thing
is a sham.
Yeah. It's an absolute sham. A lot of the concussion tests, I feel like, are also like, hey, how you feeling? Okay, you get in there.
What's
like
your
you
name?
Pass the test.
Who is the president?
That's actually be confusing right now.
That's fair. I actually have different ads. Questions. That's true.
Listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. I don't know what's up and what's down anymore. But yeah, that one's weird and it's a little concerning. And you know, maybe Alex Van Pelt, whenever he speaks again, will be an interesting one to talk to because I know Mayo doesn't talk to May during the game, but I think Van Pelt does.
Hopefully.
And you think like coming off the field, like, you know, or like in the headset, any kind of communication with him, like, do you feel like he's the same? Because the reports were Jacoby Brissett was the one that kind of realized, hey, you might want to get him looked at.
He's like, groggy. Get me in. Yeah, he's like, groggy. Put me in, coach.
Yeah.
Smacks him in the head. He's like, Drake, go sit down over there. How's your head?
But, yeah, you'd think they'd be on it unless, and I'm not even saying this is a bad thing, unless like Van Pelt was like, I think you're fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's football. Like, these guys, like, he kept playing, so you're hopeful that he can play. But yeah, once he went in the tent and that's what they were looking at, then they showed the hit again, you're like, oh, he's not coming back.
Yeah. So we already get a bunch of these, 37937. To all those who insisted on playing Drake May week one, this, all caps, is what we were
disagree.
Worried about.
No, it's not. It's not. If you're being honest with yourself, what you're worried about was not a big scamper down the field and then him sliding and then a defender coming from the side and hitting him. What you were worried about was the left tackle falling down and tripping over himself and then him getting a blindside hit to the head or the knee. That's honestly what you were afraid of.
Like, for example, the Houston game where he falls on his shoulder like that.
That's what you were afraid of.
And like we all gasped when that happened. Yeah. I thought, you know, the play Drake crowd was in trouble when that happened.
No,
yesterday is not what anybody was concerned about. That is bastardizing and misconstruing the fear.
No, that's crazy.
He finishes in the tweet. How is he going to progress or how's he going to develop rather in the concussion protocol? And it's like, well,
he's back to watching again, which is what the team wanted him to do for the first 5 weeks.
That's a good point. Number one.
Number two,
he might play Sunday, and if not, he's going to play the week after that. Like, the concussion protocol, you traditionally
But that's crazy. That's ignoring the last 2.5 games and being like, this guy gives a spark.
Yeah.
Like, he looked great yesterday. He's good. He's a good player.
He looked great yesterday.
But, no, I think if he got just destroyed, like, up the middle because the center, like, you know, couldn't snap the ball or whatever, that was your fear. There was also a group of people that were like, hey, football players get hurt, but I'm more worried about him.
His
bad habits, like development, like running for his life, throwing across his body, just like doing stupid stuff and being mentally broke. That's also clearly not the case.
Seen none of that.
So you can't take a victory lap now after he slides down and gets hit on what should have been a penalty. Not that, you know, that saves him from a concussion or not, but I'm just saying it was sort of an illegal hit, which guys are going to get hurt all the time. Look at all the players that left games yesterday. Like that happens, whether you have a great offensive line or a bad one. You don't think, even if he had 5 all pros in front of him, you don't think he'd ever run a little bit? I bet he would.
I would hope so.
It's part of his game.
It's part of his skill set. And so, yeah, he got knocked out of the game yesterday. That, again, to me, just bastardizes the argument. The argument was you're worried about an ACL, you're worried about an Achilles, you're worried about a season-ending injury, not him maybe missing a week.
But it's also, I feel like him getting hit by a the way I always viewed it when people would complain about it is him getting hit by a defender he couldn't see because the offensive line was so bad.
Yeah.
Not, hey, I've already picked up a first down, let me slide down. Like, that's not at all what people were talking
about. And he's running all over their defense like he's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Good point by the text line. Didn't help that it wasn't flagged. Fair.
No, it should have been, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Helmet to helmet hit. 37937. I like these. Terrible win yesterday, boys.
So I at least get, I don't subscribe to that, but I at least get that argument
because it wasn't
Drake May and you want the highest pick possible.
It's one game, nothing really to get excited about. Were you rooting against him on the final drive yesterday? Like, even me.
No.
Black heart rooting against everything.
Say, this son of a gun.
And even with Brissett out there, I still want him to win that game yesterday. I think there's a benefit to winning yesterday. I think there's potentially a benefit down the line even for Drake May. The team's not totally checked out. And they proved that yesterday. I don't know that they proved they're not a soft team, but they proved they're not totally checked out. Mayo still has a shot, a long shot, but still has a shot. They haven't completely quit on him. So check those boxes. Players are still somewhat invested for whenever Drake May gets back out there later on this year. And I still think there's a benefit to winning 4, 5, 6 games compared to 1 or 2. Like, I think all of that was important. So I am happy with the win. And I'm not in this, not yet anyway, I'm not in this crowd of tank, 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 get the number one pick, draft a tackle or trade back and accumulate asset. Like, I'm not there yet. Maybe in December, come talk to me.
Yeah.
But right now, I think there's a benefit to wins, and I don't get that mindset. Terrible win.
Well,
it's only one game. I don't get that. You were rooting against them on the final drive yesterday? I don't get that mentality.
Also, if you have a really high pick, and not to be a negative Nelson, but do you trust Elliott Wolf?
No.
Right.
God, no.
So this one was given to him, Drake May. Every single one of us would have picked Drake May, given Williams and Daniels off the board. Everybody in the world. Yeah, most people in the world. Nobody can agree on anything, but Drake May was the obvious pick. After that, everybody loves Jalen Polk and, you know, Javon Baker and what he's done in free agency. Like, he's been horrible thus far. Trash. He's been really bad. He has Drake May, but again, how much credit can you even give him? So, no, at week eight, I'm not as concerned with the draft's position. It's all going to kind of work itself out. They're going to have a high pick. Although there's a lot of really bad teams in the NFL.
There are.
I was looking at this. You know, there are 10 teams with two or less wins.
Yeah, did you see the team they played yesterday, Keith? We already talked about all the mistakes they made. Yep. The Jets are terrible.
The team they play next week is horrible. Like, there's a lot of bad, bad teams.
And there's a real chance the Jets check out before the Patriots.
Yeah, they might already be out.
You know, like that, like they really might already be checked out. That's fair.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers plays the rest of the season? Does he just pack his stuff?
Yeah, I bet every single game for the rest of the year. You're saying he just leaves the team, goes AWOL. I could see it.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. Now, he probably wants to make sure he gets his money, but he could come up with some weird injury or something. Like, oh, I got to rehab this, and then he's gone.
The Patriots, I think, are still not well coached. But they were easily the better coached team yesterday.
Not even close.
Like not even close.
Delay a game on a 2-point conversion is something I've never seen in all my years.
Burning all their timeouts to start the game because they can't snap it.
Third and final timeout. Like first quarter. It's the first quarter. They would have used 6 timeouts if they could because they had all these delay of games and everything else. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
They were so bad. So I give the credit to the Patriots for winning the game. But I mean, the real story, like the national story of this one was, oh my God, the Jets look worse than we ever could have imagined.
Yeah. And so I think it's way too early to be worried about draft positioning and where they're going to wind up.
I'm not.
But you are right. There are a lot of terrible teams. And you're playing another one this week, not to get ahead of ourselves, but you're playing Tennessee this week. Yeah. It's like, you want to see what a trash team looks like.
But
there are going to be two of them going head to head.
I was going to say, it'll all work itself out. Like, a lot of these teams are in the same division. They'll play each other again and whatever else. So they'll, like, Jacksonville and Tennessee, there'll be wins there to be had in, New Orleans and Carolina. So I'm not looking ahead now. Plus, it's not a year to look ahead. Last year was. Last year, I kind of got the argument. I would just change how you view the season and the draft. Last year, they needed a quarterback, and it was a great quarterback draft. So I was just as mad as everybody else when Chad Ryland kicked the field goal to beat the Broncos. You're like, what are you doing now? You're making kicks? Oh, this guy can't miss now. He's killing it.
He's hitting game winners week after week.
Last year made more sense.
And it got them Drake May.
It did. Yeah, but I mean,
Daniels. You had your choice of Daniels or May. I think I'd still rather have May, though.
You know what? I think I would, too. But, like, Jay Daniels is killing it. I don't think you can really
lose.
I
wanted Drake May more going into the draft. I think I would still take Drake May, but
it's close.
It's gotten even closer than I thought.
Like, and if somebody said Jay Daniels is the answer, I'm not going to, like, fight him.
No, me
I'm not going to slug him in the gut over it.
Daniels looks great. But you didn't know that in real time.
No. But I'm saying this year, like, okay, just get the best tackle available or or trade down, get the best tackle and wide out available or whatever. Like, you have the quarterback, so I'm not going crazy about bottoming out.
Okay. Was it a costly win yesterday for the Patriots? In one sense, it definitely was. You lost Drake May, but you win the game. Are you worried about their draft positioning, or are you looking big picture and saying, hey, Jerod Mayo, the team's still fighting for him? How much of yesterday was about Jerod Mayo? We got detoured when we talked to Hunter Henry. We got to get back to the wide receiver room.
Oh,
because it was a horrible day for them yesterday. We do have to circle back to that.
Yes.
Plus, week eight, very busy, very exciting.
A lot of action,
Keith. Some would ask,
what happened?
We'll get to it right after trending with Billy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Delaney.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com. Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with...
What happened?
On Jones and Keefe.
Ho, doctors! Week 8 in the NFL. Let's find out what happened. Let's start with some of the AFC East teams. Jones, what if I told you the Bills had a big game yesterday against the Seahawks?
Hey, what happened?
Every game is big when it's the Buffalo Bills.
Pressure up the middle, dancing around. Rose has a completion and a touchdown. It's Dalton Kincaid for 6.
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Tom Brady?
Hello?
Tom?
Tom.
Scott Kincaid.
Oh! Just-
on the shallow cross, he feels woolen over there. Just about.
You want 20 seconds of dead air on a national broadcast? Tom Brady's your guy.
$37 million a year. The guy plays happen and the guy says nothing.
Tom? Tom, you there?
Tom.
Buffalo Bills with a 31-10 win in Seattle. Josh Allen, a couple of touchdown passes. James Cook, over 100 on the ground. 2 touchdown catches. The Bills are 6-2. And they are going to win the division by 15 games.
Seems that way.
There is nobody in the AFC East besides the Buffalo Bills
right
now.
I mean, Dolphins, Pats, Jets, all terrible, terrible, and terrible.
Yep.
Shines come off the Seahawks a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. Amari Cooper, big addition for the Bills, didn't do much yesterday.
Crickets.
But the offense has clicked in, it seems, the last couple of weeks. James Cook, I don't know what his final numbers were. He looked awesome yesterday.
Two.
So he looked awesome in that game. You detailed it.
Yep.
Kincaid had a good day. Shakir had a good day. Keon Coleman grabbed a touchdown off of Tariq Woolen's head.
Yeah.
So the Bills look good.
Bills look good. What about the Dolphins and the Cardinals?
What happened?
Tua Tagovailoa was back after his latest concussion, and they had a lead. Fourth quarter, late, just seconds remaining. Old buddy Chad Ryland with a chance to win it.
He is nails again!
One of the greatest kickers of all time, Chad Ryland. 28-27, your final. The Arizona Cardinals, who the Patriots play later in the season, are 4-4. Kyler Murray, over 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. The Dolphins fall to 2-5. So because they had the bye week already, they're 2-5. Pats and Jets both 2-6. So they're technically in second place right now. Tua's return, 234 yards passing, 1 touchdown, no picks. The touchdown was to Devon Achane. Tyreek Hill, 6 catches, 72 yards. No touchdowns. Marvin Harrison Jr., over 100 yards receiving and a score.
It is funny what Tua's return can do to just unlock them to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we all felt like it was Mike McDaniel there for a long time, but here are their games without Tua, point totals.
Oh, my
God. And he was part of the problem against Buffalo in week 2. They scored 10 in that game, but he played most of it.
Yep.
3 and a loss to Seattle.
Mm.
12, they got blown out by Tennessee, who's terrible.
Yeah.
15, they beat the Pats.
15 big ones.
10, they lost to Anthony Richardson and the Colts.
We'll get
to
him.
He comes back 27 points. They lose.
Yeah.
But the offense looked very different yesterday.
How about the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens?
How about it?
I'll tell you what happened. Jameis Winston replacing the injured Deshaun Watson. And is he going to eat a W? Maybe.
Winston going for it all for the end zone for Tillman. He's got it!
That was with about a minute to go in the game. The Browns would win at home 29-24 over Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Jameis Winston, 334 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Of all the 2-win teams, you'd have to say the Browns have the most life because Watson done for the year. They have talent on that team. And Jameis Winston, maybe it's just crazy enough that he's going to get something going.
They clearly have talent, though. They scored 20 for the first time all year. They get Watson out of the game. Winston's out there slinging it around like a crazy
man. Having a great time.
300-plus yards yesterday, 3 touchdowns, as you said, 2 to Tillman, another one to Njoku.
You think they would trade
last week
for Amari Cooper back?
We'd be like, we spoke too soon.
Can you give us Amari Cooper back? I don't think they need him.
No, they might not.
They got Winston out there slinging it around. So
Chubb's been playing the last couple weeks.
Yep. Obviously, the Ravens took him lightly, and that was probably just a sleepwalk game for Baltimore.
I got the Browns as frisky now. Browns are frisky.
Frisky.
That's a frisky team.
We're doing candy tomorrow, but in
we're
2 weeks.
Candy, but yeah.
2 weeks, we would have them frisky.
Well, candy's frisky. Tune in tomorrow. Find out. That's the Cleveland Browns, though. They look pretty good.
Not blow pops.
All right, we have the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Raiders.
What happened?
Three tight ends, third and goal. Mahomes caught, touchdown. Kelce, his first regular season touchdown reception in 13 games. And Mahomes, who has gone 11 quarters without a touchdown pass, finally laces one into the end zone.
Patrick Mahomes had been in a touchdown drought, not as long as Travis Kelce, but both snapped, as you heard right there. Mahomes finished with two touchdown passes. Travis Kelce, who has been coming on, I called him washed. He's been better the last 3 weeks, including yesterday, where he had 10 catches, 90 yards, and a score. Chiefs beat the Raiders 27-20. Kansas City, 7-0.
I believe entering the game yesterday, the Chiefs were the only team that didn't have a passing touchdown in the month of October with Patrick Mahomes, which is crazy.
It's wild. But they won all those games.
They
lost.
They did, and they continued to. I don't know. I mean, Mahomes is not playing. You saw the pick he threw yesterday?
Yeah.
Like, he was better yesterday than he had been, but
that
was another terrible pick.
They can't lose, though, these guys.
No, and their defense, even after the pick, like, still stuffed the Raiders at the goal line. So their defense is legit. If Mahomes figures it out, look out. Hopkins, I guess, was somewhat involved yesterday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're a scary team if he ever figures it out. And maybe yesterday he started to figure it out.
That is true. All right, how about the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans?
What happened?
There he goes again. Mixon at the 5, lowers his shoulder, and he's in for the touchdown. What a run by Mixon.
Texans with a 23-20 win over the Colts. Houston, with the exception of the Patriots, they don't blow anybody out.
No.
They play a lot of these close games. C.J. Stroud had a touchdown pass. Joe Mixon was really good. Both running backs in this one went over 100. Jonathan Taylor, 105 and a score for the Colts. Mixon, 102 and a score for Houston. But the story of the game is Anthony Richardson.
I was just going to ask you if you saw this.
The starting quarterbacks for the Indianapolis Colts stinks. As Nick said, stinks.
I have a MVP future for him that is still offering me a payout.
At one point,
it's
what
like
was
30
he?
Cents.
Was he was 2 for 15 at one
he was
point.
2 for 15 throwing.
And he had a 69-yard touchdown.
So
he was 2 for 15 with 81 yards.
He finished 10 of 32.
Uh-huh.
That's a low percentage.
It's not great.
175, a touchdown, a pick. He was sacked 5 times. He also checked out of the game like a running back or a wide receiver would do if they were gassed because he was tired.
Yeah,
he left the game.
Yeah, he was exhausted.
He's like, I gotta go.
I need a quick breather.
And then in the post game, they asked him, like, what the hell happened there? And he's like, I was tired. I ain't going to lie. And somebody on Twitter was like, maybe he should lie. Maybe it'd be bad. Talk about things that you've never seen, and that's why football is the greatest. Even when there's bad football, it's still the greatest ever. So I'd never seen a team take a delay a game on a two-point conversion.
Nope.
The New York Jets showed us that.
Yep.
I've never, ever, at any level, seen a quarterback leave the game because they were
winded
for being a little tired.
They should just left Flacco in.
Yeah,
you want out of the game?
You don't want to play?
We shouldn't even be playing you right now. The Twitch chat is right. I liked Anthony Richardson, so I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, they should have just let Flacco stay and be like, all right, you want out of the game?
You're done, Flacco, then.
Should be playing anyway.
Coach, let me get one. Then get the quarterback.
Hey, you get no more.
Can I come out of the game?
You're done.
Real quick.
Diggs hurt in that game, too. Which is,
yes.
You know, if you're talking about the title aspirations for Houston, that's a big loss. On the heel, Nico's going to come back, but he looks like he's done.
Tank Dell did have the one touchdown catch for the for Houston. All right, let's go to the Patriots' opponent next week, the Tennessee Titans taking on the Detroit Lions. Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, is, I think, everybody's favorite. This guy will run anything, especially goal line, end zone stuff, including this.
Laporta in motion. Toss play. Montgomery wants to throw to the end zone. There's the touchdown for Sam Laporta. He got his national touchdown.
I thought Brady was doing the game.
Touchdown.
This was insane. Final score, 52 to 14. Lions didn't even score in the fourth quarter. It was 52-14 after three, and then I was just kind of ran out the clock. Sonic and Knuckles, my favorite running back tandem, nickname in the league. Nasty, both scored touchdowns. Gibbs had 127 rushing. Montgomery just 33, but he also threw one for good measure. Amon-Ra St. Brown only had two catches, but one of them was a touchdown. Laporta had that touchdown. Khalif Raymond had a touchdown catch. There was also a punt return for a touchdown by Khalif Raymond, 90-yard variety. So just dominant. Jared Goff didn't crack 100 yards, but he threw three touchdowns, and they put up 52 as a team.
Yeah, unreal. And they lost Jameson Williams this week. Like, yeah. Jameson Williams has been really good. Doesn't even matter. Nope. And so I'd still have the Chiefs at the top of the heap when it comes to best teams in the league. They're Mahomes is playing not well, but how are you going to count out Kansas City?
Lions are sick.
They have a real argument to be the best team in football. They are well-balanced. They're deep. It doesn't matter who they lose. They've dealt with injuries, and they continue to roll.
6-1 the Lions are. The Patriots' opponent next week, the Titans, 1-6. There's a bad squad over there. Something's gotta give. Although Pats are early dogs in this one because the game is in Tennessee. First line I saw was Titans -3.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, would you take the points if it's Brissett? No, I wouldn't.
Titans are so bad.
Okay, I wouldn't take them.
Titans are so bad.
Would you take the points if it's Drake May?
Yes.
Me too. I might take money.
There might not be points.
But yeah, money line, they might be like, maybe that's telling you who they think is starting the game. Because I think it's going to be Brissett, and I don't like their chances if it's Brissett.
Is this a all-in type of bet, Nick? You going to go Pats on this one?
Empty it?
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it when the Jets losing on
Thursday.
Yeah,
he's empty.
Yeah, use Texans.
Can't have like $8
played. What if you take that $8 and you win $8 more?
I'll roll it.
Put roll 60
it.
On
I'll
the
roll
Pats?
It.
Yeah. No, that's what you do. You win on Thursday, you roll it on to Sunday.
And then I'll have no money left, and that'll be it.
Now we got a stew going.
We've been there. All right, how about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cincinnati Bengals?
Hey, what happened?
Fake it to Barkley. Hurts, sets, throws. Looking for the home run ball. End zone! Devontae Smith! Touchdown! Over the shoulder! Spectacular!
This is a close game at the half. Then the Eagles ran away with it. 37-17 the final in Cincinnati. Philly's 5-2. Cincy is 3-5. And I'll tell you what, I've had it up to here with these tush pushes. I have Saquon Barkley on my awful fantasy team.
Yeah.
And every time they get the ball down the goal line, it's just tush push, tush push, tush push. Jalen Hurts had three rushing touchdowns.
It also got, if you were watching, it got stuffed like
they
twice during the game.
Right.
And they kept doing it.
I hate it.
I hate that. I hate that play too. Not for the same reason you do. You hate it for your fantasy
team. Only because of my fantasy
which
team.
Which I fully respect. I fully respect that. I would hate it too if I were Saquon Barkley.
Thank you.
And I would probably love it if I had Jalen Hurts. But as a neutral fan with no dog in the fight, it is the cheapest play in football. They've tried to de-emphasize it and outlaw it to a degree. Like, they've altered the rules for it. It's not a real football play. Shoving another guy into the end zone is the cheapest play. I hate it. I hate it. And I have no dog in the fight.
Yeah, I got a dog in the fight. It's not much of a fight anymore.
No.
Guy just stands
dead,
there.
Dead dog.
The audacity on one of the tush-push touchdowns from 1 yard out, Jalen Hurts turned around, gave Saquon Barkley the ball so he could spike it. I was like, Saquon, don't spike that.
I would have handed it back.
Don't spike that.
Take it back.
Also, in this game for all us uniform fans, Cincinnati was wearing the white Bengal Tiger uniform.
Real nice.
Woo!
Well, uniform of the day, we're going to get to later on, but uniform of the day is the creamsicle Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that looked really nice.
Real nice.
I like the. Oh, man, those were slick. But the white Bengal Tiger, I think they should use a little bit more.
Real nice.
That's a really. And they had the end zone. They had like white in the end zone. It was almost unfair because the players would get in there. Oh, Terp's showing it now on the Twitch.
Yeah,
watching on Twitch or YouTube.
Yeah.
Look at that. The snow leopard.
It worked for a drive. Their first drive, it was like a 10-minute drive.
I think they look fast.
Yeah, they were camoed.
In the icy whites.
I think they were camoed in the end zone.
I agree. Huh. All right, let's go to another cat. The Carolina Panthers. We're taking on the Denver Broncos.
What happened?
Play action. Knicks shows the speed. Fires. Caught. Touchdown.
This dude's a winner. Bo Nix is a winner. I don't know if you believe, but I certainly do. 284 yards and three touchdowns. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was to, like, crappy backup tight ends.
Yep. And he ran one in. So he had four touchdowns.
No, I mean, look, I am not I'm not a Bo Nix believer, but I'll give it up. They're better than
5-3?
How are you to sneeze at that?
You can't sneeze at 5-3.
No.
Carolina falls to 1-7. We did see the return of Bryce Young.
Yeah, we did.
Two touchdown passes, two picks. They scored 14 points, so there's that. But
not
Denver hanging around.
Not
and in all seriousness, Bo Nix was pretty bad last week. And so it shows you the rookie quarterback kind of sticking with him, bounces back this week.
Yeah, but on balance, 5-3. Yeah. I mean, you take that in a heartbeat, yeah.
Let's go to another one of the Wildcats. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Green Bay Packers.
What happened?
Well, this game was tied late. Green Bay with a chance to walk it off.
McManus, for the second straight week, a Green Bay Packers game-winning field goal.
How do you like that? 30-27. You wouldn't like it if you had Green Bay -3.5.
No,
you
would not.
Which I know some people
you
did.
You most certainly would not. You wouldn't like it if you were your fantasy team, Keith, and you have Jordan Love.
Groin injury. Brutal groin injury in the third quarter for Love. He left. Malik Willis came in. They were still able to get the win. Trevor Lawrence did throw for over 300 yards, and he ran in a score, threw for two more. Jacksonville, like a little bit of life for sure, but they are now 2-6, like the Patriots, like the Jets, like many teams. Green Bay hasn't all been pretty, but they're 6-2.
Great I mean, when you keep winning games with Malik Willis, you plug him in on the fly, you win with him where you have to start him for a week. I mean, that's a good operation they have there. It's a good team.
What about the Saints and the Chargers?
Hey, what happened?
I'd say going into the year and even a few weeks into the year, the Chargers were a team that you could say they might have a wide receiver group worse than the Patriots. Although, maybe not.
Maybe.
As Herbert will throw on the run, corner of the end zone, touchdown! It's Ladd McConkey again! The rookie's got two today for the Chargers.
Ladd McConkey, 6 catches, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And maybe Herbert's finally found somebody he can throw to.
Yeah. That's a guy the Patriots could have had, and instead they went Jalen Polk. What is his real name, by the way? Is Ladd not his name?
I think it's Ladd.
Andrew Ladd McConkey. So yesterday it was bothering me. It was bothering me on Red Zone. They were doing A. McConkey. I'm like, are there two McConkeys?
A. McConkey?
A. McConkey on Red Zone.
Ladd. His middle name's Ladd. Call him Ladd.
Okay, but I'm just telling you how they abbreviated it.
Nice player.
Andrew Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, nice player.
I would take him over Jalen Polk.
You think?
Yeah.
Guy, he had a great game yesterday. All right. This was the game and the finish of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Number one pick, Caleb Williams versus number two pick, Jaden Daniels.
Former intern, Brian Ferzocco. Plug your ears out there. This is ugly for all you Bears fans.
Bears Commanders coming down to the wire.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it! What an unbelievable play. I mean, all Hail Marys are just so crazy when you see them completed. But that was when he was just running around for a little bit, a big scrum at like the 1 yard line. Ball gets tipped up. Noah Brown's all by himself, catches it. And one of the great angles, too, is there's some idiot on the Bears. What's his name? He's like
Tyler Stevenson, I think.
Yeah, he's like talking. He's waving to the crowd like as the play's going on. And then
he's
like,
everybody's pointing. He's like, hey, the play's going. He's like,
yeah, play's going on, pal.
I'm sorry, Tyreek Stevenson.
Tyreek Stevenson. Yeah. He's waving to everybody. Then he has to turn around and run back into the play, and then they score.
And he's the one who tips it right into Noah Brown's hands.
So good. So good. So 18-15, your final. Jaden Daniels, all week we weren't sure if he was going to play, and obviously he did. 326 yards, of course, a lot of it there on that final play, and that one touchdown. Caleb Williams only threw for 131. DeAndre Swift had a big game on the ground, 129 and a score. But I love the idea that the first matchup between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels ends this way.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe this could be a great NFC rivalry going forward, you know?
Caleb Williams didn't do squat for most of the game.
No, he didn't.
But and Jaden Daniels looked great. How can you play a guy who is a rookie and got hurt? Like, how can you do that?
Gotta sit him.
How you gotta sit him down.
Gotta sit him.
I mean, heaven forbid. But the Jaden Daniels stuff is unbelievable. Terp was telling me this earlier today. A lot of Patriots fans are doing the tankathon thing where you go and see where the Patriots draft pick is.
Yeah.
It's all based on the standings plus strength of schedule.
Right.
But if you scroll all the way down, Washington is losing the NFC title game based on record and strength of schedule. If you just project it out, it's them and the Lions in the NFC title game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, they're 6-2. They're now 4-0 at home. The Bears are still 4-3. So one thing I also love, and we're through 8 weeks of the season. But Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix all have winning records.
Yeah.
I love that.
Seems like a win for us who want to play the rookie.
Mm-hmm. All right, NFC South showdown between your Atlanta Falcons and my Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. Hey, what happened?
Cousins pumps it. He's got Robinson, and he's got all the space in the world to walk in for a touchdown. Fourth touchdown pass of the day for Cousins, and it's the largest lead of the day on either side.
Cousins was horrible last week, awesome this week, four touchdown passes. Baker Mayfield had three touchdown passes for the Bucs, but Falcons beat Tampa 31-26, so Atlanta now in first place all alone in the NFC South at 5-3, Tampa Bay 4-4.
Yeah, go get yourself some shares of at Kate Otten in fantasy. We'll give you the waiver recommendation tomorrow, but I'd go get some shares.
Sunday Night Football, one of the great matchups of the 90s, the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys.
What happened?
We're into a motion. The blitz comes. Purdy gets it up. It's a touchdown for Kittle. However, the contact brings the flag.
Yeah, that would stand. It'd be a touchdown. The only touchdown pass from Brock Purdy goes to George Kittle. 30-24. The Niners avoid being under 500 at the midway point. They're 4-4 now. Dallas, however, falls to 3-4. Huge game for CeeDee Lamb, but in a loss.
Yeah, and it was a lot of it piled
all
up.
In garbage
yeah,
time.
I was just going to say it was piled up when they were already kind of out of the game. So look, I thought that the Cowboys would answer back out of the bye week, and I was wrong. But that was a matchup of two teams that have underachieved wildly.
It seems like a couple weeks ago, we were looking at the NFC East. We were talking about Bill Belichick. Hey, the Commanders could maybe win that division. And you're like, Nick Sirianni, Mike McCarthy, both on the hot seat. Sirianni's turned that around. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy has not.
Tough.
Yeah.
Real tough.
There you go.
By the way, text 37937. I had a five-leg parlay. My last leg was Bears -3.
Brutal.
Plus 10,139.
Turbo's on the other side. Yeah, that's tough.
How many fantasy matchups, how many bets just swung on that play yesterday?
Keep your head on a swivel.
Thank God I didn't have any skin in the game on that.
No. I lost plenty on the Drake May props. So
would have made a terrible gambling Sunday even worse. Uh-huh. So there you go. That's what happened in week 8 of the NFL. We do it every Monday at 11:20 here on Jones and Keith. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your Patriots thoughts, plus trade deadline looming. How did yesterday's win for the Pats impact their approach? How active should they be? That's next. They could create some heat with Josh Uche. Interesting.
That's one word for it.
It's a healthy scratch yesterday. Mayo was asked about it today on the Greg Hill Show. He's like, yeah, no, he was just doing what makes our team the best on the field, getting his ass off of it.
That's nonsense. So, I mean, they might be trying to trade him, right? You're trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt in a week or 2 weeks before.
It certainly seems that way.
And he's not like a huge ad either. Like, oh, he's out there, you're great. In fact, he seems to be a guy that is either missing tackles or out of position all the time. I feel like when Mayo was saying the team is soft, it was about him.
He
might be the face of it.
So the names that have come up, Reese wrote this over the weekend. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Yeah. For the second year in a row, pass rusher Josh Uche is among the top Patriots players whose teams have inquired about at the NFL's trade deadline. By the way, Twitch chat was pointing this out earlier since we're talking about pronunciation. Did you notice how they were pronouncing booty yesterday?
Boutte?
I think they were saying booty.
Booty?
I think they were like overpronouncing it and saying booty. Not boote.
I did enjoy the Boomer Esiason interview again this morning with Gerard.
That. Oh, did he do Mayo? That again?
Yeah, the whole time.
It's such a difficult name.
Mayo's it? Yeah, so I guess they get the booty name wrong.
So I'm sorry. Joshua Uche.
Uche.
Diana Rossini. I know you like her reporting.
I would just go opposite.
I've been told
it's good to listen to and then just kind of
and
go
just fade it. Yeah. I've been told to keep an eye on the Patriots who will listen to any proposal.
Anything
with run stuffing interior defensive lineman Devon Godshall.
Oh,
friend of the show.
He is friend of the show.
And New England Patriots love Jarrett Stidham.
Never started a game here. Never once.
Some would argue he should have, though, down the stretch.
I think he should have, but if they loved him so much, maybe he would have.
But he didn't. Yeah. Ex-Niners wide receiver Kendrick Bourne, also on her list.
He did not have a great game.
And then Ian Rappaport. Oh, no, terrible. And he said it after the game.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy.
And then Ian Rappaport, just to close the loop on all the names floating around out there, Uche and KJ Osborne. He says for the second consecutive year, Uche's name is floating around on the trade market with a low base salary, $1.3 million,
mm-hmm.
only adding to his value. He has two sacks in limited time. Meanwhile, Kendrick Bourne is the receiver who's garnered the most interest in trade rumors. It would take a large deal to pry him from New England.
What's seriously? That? No, I was going to ask.
Rounder?
Four first round.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be like a comedian here.
Yeah.
You named four guys. Yep. Kendrick Bourne, Kendrick Osborne, Josh Uche, and Devon Godchow. Mm-hmm. If you traded all four of them to the same team, what would it cost? Like, those guys aren't worth anything.
A third. Did you get a third for all four of them?
No,
maybe not. Yeah, maybe not even.
No.
Maybe
I would probably say in order, it would be what you could get the most for would be Godchow,
Bourne,
Uche, Osborne.
Exactly. I would agree with that order, yes.
So DeAndre Hopkins just went for a fifth round pick. No, seriously.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins. It's only one player.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So KJ Osborne.
On a torn, maybe torn MCL.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On a scale of, you know, there's only seven rounds in the draft. Mm-hmm. What is KJ Osborne worth? Zero. Like zero. He's not playing on the worst receiving group in the league.
How many snaps yesterday? I had Nick look.
Nine?
I think it was nine. Yeah.
He played nine snaps yesterday.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne was dropping passes left and right. At least he's a pro. You don't have to worry. Like, you bring him in, you don't have to worry about him. I think he can figure out your offense. Or maybe it's an offense similar to this or, you know, with San Francisco. So, like, he might have some value. But if Hopkins goes for a fifth, what on earth would you get for these guys? Godchow, maybe for a team that's looking for, like, a big hoss to you know, stop the run. Although, he's coming from a team that can't stop the run at all. And Josh Uche, I know, was it 2 years ago? He had all those sacks. I never thought he was... Well, much of anything. He was available to everybody this offseason. Nobody paid for him.
He was a free agent and no one wanted him. So he came back here with his tail tucked between his legs.
None of those guys are worth anything. The question would be, would the Patriots entertain like some pick swaps? But that's what, wouldn't it be, hey, we'll give you KJ Osborne and a seventh for your sixth?
Yeah.
That's the kind of trade. All you're doing is trading up. You're not even adding a pick.
And I don't think anyone's saying yes.
No, because they should just cut Osborne to make room for more of the young guys.
He says it would take a large deal to pry Bourne loose. This is a rap sheet. He says a more likely trade possibility is Osborne, who is on a one-year deal and has, quote-unquote, thrived elsewhere.
What? The large deal for Kendrick Bourne, I think, is just insulting.
Yeah. No, it is.
Like, what does that even mean? Multiple picks?
So are they going to be any more or less active based on yesterday's win? I doubt it. Those are the names that are available that you can come get. What should the Patriots do before the trade deadline? You could jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Our pal Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Hey. You don't think Thornton could get him a good pick?
I mean, Thornton had the worst drop yesterday. Yeah. If you want to be fair, he did have a big third down conversion, but that drop was so bad. It was so bad.
There was nobody near him on that catch.
So the reason for my call, you know, the Patriots are so bad that I did something yesterday I haven't done really in years, which is I spent the day with my family, and I didn't watch them. And, you know, it was okay. I caught up with the highlight. I mean, I watched the end. I'm glad they won. I can't wait to hear Bill Belichick, whether he's going to speak or not. He probably won't.
He won't.
Did I miss anything? You know, you let me know. Did I miss out? You guys are the best. Have a good one.
No way. Thanks, did you miss out? No, I mean, they won. But
no, they won. And let's be honest. Like, it was fun at the end. And yeah. It was more, I think, a Jets collapse, if you want to put, you know, call it that, fine. But it was still.
But did you miss out? No, I wouldn't say you missed out. Yeah.
But it was
a fun little win.
Yeah. And Booty kind of redeemed himself as best he could anyway, coming up with a couple of big grabs. I thought in real time, I thought he got in on the one right at the end. Didn't. Then they run the ball in, fourth down, also super close, trying to review it. Camera angles were horrible. They who's setting up the cameras?
Good question.
Couldn't see anything on either of those.
This is what happens when you get Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta. You don't exactly get as many camera angles.
Did you see who we're getting this week?
Yes, yes, yes. Jason Benetti.
What is that? I've never even heard of this guy.
He's a good baseball play-by-play guy, I think. Yeah, and then who's the analyst? I did see it, but I don't
Mark
remember.
Schlereth.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know he does games.
Piss dogs.
Jason Benetti and Mark Schlereth and Jen Hale for the...
Oh, they got Jen Hale!
Jen Hale's going to be there.
Wow, okay, nice.
Pat's Titans.
Nice. Benetti's good baseball from what I hear, not that I'm a baseball guy.
I honestly wouldn't even have known that was a team.
Yeah.
That is a deep cut.
Next week might be family time.
Yeah, it could be.
Johnny, you were off by a week. Next week's family time.
Yeah, what do you do? It's post-pumpkin patch time, because mm-hmm. post-Halloween...
Just gorge on your kid's Halloween game.
I thought you were making a gourd joke.
I don't know.
Halloween candy day.
Yeah.
Just so gross.
Yeah, just, you know.
Wrappers everywhere.
Yeah. Just
chocolate over the couch.
A diabetic sugar high so you can't see.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you miss the game. That's not a bad way to go.
It's a big game coming up.
617-779-7937. It's Patriots Monday. All your thoughts on the game yesterday. How does it impact their approach at the trade deadline? You happy with the win? I know a lot of you aren't. Drake May gets injured in the game. It's a costly win. And how much of it was about Jerod Mayo? We'll get back to all of that. Plus, Christian Gonzalez scheduled to join us at some time in the noontime hour. So all that next.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.